Join me this morning as we look into a few verses of Scripture found in the Gospel according to Matthew. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 7 of the Gospel according to Matthew. We're going to look at two main verses that I want us to call. I want to call your attention to, found in verse 13 and in verse 14. Verse 13 and verse 14. I want to speak to you about the way beyond the gate. The way beyond the gate. I know most people associate the way with the gate in these verses of Scripture that I'm about to read, and I do too. I link them together. Those that go through the straight gate must also abide in the narrow way. There's a narrow way beyond the gate. If you come to my backyard, I have a fence and I also have a gate. You can see through the fence. Most of you, if you saw through the fence, you would not go through the gate, because there's something there that looks very intimidating, though she's just a big puppy and would probably lick you to death rather than hurt you in any way. But you can see beyond the gate. You know what's on the other side. And most people who come to Christ, they know there are things that they'll have to adjust to beyond the gate, that there's a way of life that Christians live. I'm fearful that there are a lot of people who do not understand that salvation requires also lordship. Lordship. A few years ago, Campus Crusade began to teach that you can get saved at one place and then later on make Jesus your Lord. Listen, if you surrender in salvation, at the point that you surrender in salvation, you'll make Him Lord of your life. And Jesus taught that. That's the connection of the narrow way and the straight gate. So let's read. This is from the Sermon on the Mount. This is the crescendo portion of the sermon. Jesus all along had been talking about kingdom living. Everybody say kingdom living. Now, I'm not going to start in the first few verses of chapter 5 and read all these different aspects of kingdom living. But He was describing His kingdom, and it wasn't just a way in, it was a way of life. It wasn't just a way in, it was a way of life. Christianity is a way of life. There are some that think that they can come to Christ and keep their own way of life. That's not repentance. That's not surrendering, saving faith. No. When you come to Jesus, you must surrender your life. That was the kind of invitations that Jesus gave all of His ministry. And we may look at a few of those in just a few moments about denying self and picking up your cross and following Jesus. I'm talking about lordship, salvation. I'm talking about the way beyond the gate. Now, many people, and you can find them in the New Testament as well as today, people who want eternal life, like the rich young ruler in the 19th chapter of Matthew. He came to Jesus and he said, "What do I need to do that I might have eternal life?" They want eternal life, but they don't want to unload. They don't want the way of life that Jesus presented to the rich young ruler when He told him he needed to sell all of his belongings, his riches, to deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow Him. The rich young ruler went away very sorrowfully because he saw the way beyond the gate. The way beyond the gate. Now, all through this sermon, that's what Jesus was describing. That's what He was depicting. He was describing a way of life. And He was contrasting the religion, the true religion of Jehovah God, the religion that you might term the kingdom religion or the kingdom life, being very different than the life of the Pharisees and the scribes. Their religion was a religion of hypocrisy. And the religion of the kingdom is one of sincerity. It's real, it's genuine. Whether it be praying or fasting or all these different ways of the kingdom life that He describes through here, the way of forgiveness and the way of forgiving others and all these things that he had been depicting. Even the golden rule is given just prior in verse 12 of this 7th chapter of Matthew, of treating others as you'd like to be treated. And so there's a lot of things that are described in the Sermon on the Mount. The Kingdom Manifesto. Man, if you've never read the chapters 5, 6, and 7, you need to. I'm glad I've seen and I've entered the kingdom of God. Amen. But it's not an easy entrance. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life. Let's read this. Verse 13. It starts with, you might say, in the Sermon on the Mount, the sermon of Jesus Christ, which was the sermon of sermons preached by the preacher of preachers, you might say that at this juncture you find an invitation. He says, enter ye. Everybody say, enter ye. You need to enter in the straight gate. Now he's talking about entering into the kingdom. Now you can't enter into the kingdom. You can't not even see the kingdom of God without being born again. So the gate is depicting the new birth. Amen? Jesus would talk about that in the 3rd chapter of the Gospel of St. John. But notice he says, you need to enter. It's an imperative. He is bringing us to a place in his sermon of invitation. Now there are multiple invitations that are given throughout the Scriptures. Multiple invitations that are given throughout the Scriptures, and this is his invitation in the Sermon on the Mount. You need to enter into the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I want to point out a few things about the church of the New Testament that we read of in the book of Acts. In the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, we find the Apostle Paul, and the great revival had broken out in Asia Minor. And we find a Paul going into Ephesus, and he's preaching and he's teaching in Ephesus. And the people of Ephesus were confused about the ways of the Lord. They were confused. He spent a good while, a couple of years, teaching there in Ephesus, trying to help them understand the ways of the Lord. And all through the 19th chapter of Acts, we read where he talks about the people of God being the people of the way. Everybody say, people of the way. Through the book of Acts, we find that the church is described. A title is used, a new title. If you have a NIV or a New American Standard or you have a ESV, you'll find the word way is capitalized as though he is identifying the church as the people of the way, using it more descriptively as a title, the way. And we find, like in the book of Acts, chapter 19, and verse 9, we find that there were this way was called an evil way by unbelievers, and people, multitudes of people, despised the ways of the church. In verse 23, he said there was no small stir about that way. You know, we sing an old song entitled, I'm in the Way, the Bright and Shining Way. Christianity is a way of life. And you'll never be saved. Listen, true repentance turns from your way of life and embraces the way of Jesus. Okay? Jesus would even describe himself as being the way. In the 14th chapter of St. John, he told his disciples, whether I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said, We don't know where you're going. We're not sure about the way. But Jesus said, I am the way. Amen. I am the truth. And I am the life. You got to go through Jesus. But throughout the New Testament, there's this statement made about the way. It's a way of peace. Jesus Christ is described as the Prince of Peace. John the Baptist in Luke chapter 1 and verse 79, how that he would be a light to those that sit in darkness and the shadow of death, and he would guide our feet into the way of peace. Christianity is a way of peace. Now we're talking about divine peace, spiritual peace. You'll have tribulation in the world, but be of good cheer. We have Jesus as our peace. There are many descriptions of this way. The way of the Lord. John the Baptist, he was a voice that came out of the wilderness of Judea. And he was fulfilling the prophecy of the great prophet Isaiah as that voice crying in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord is a way to live. It's a new and living way. Amen. I mentioned that verse in the 10th chapter of Hebrews. Last Sunday, and I'm not going to go back over that, but it is a way, a new and living way. Paul said when he was talking about the love of Christ and the love of God and the love that should be in the church, and in 1 Corinthians 12 and 31, he said, I want to show you a more excellent way. There's an excellent way, and the Lord's way is the excellent way. It's a way of love, a way of forgiveness, a way of mercy. Amen? It's a way of holiness, something we don't hear in church as much anymore. It is a way of righteousness. Yeah. It's a spiritual way and not a carnal way. It's a way that takes us to heaven, away from this world. Yes, yes. Jesus said there's a lot of people. He said, I'm the door. Jesus said, I'm the door. And he said, there's a lot of people that try to get in some other way. But there's no other way but through Jesus. No other way but through Jesus. And so it's a way. In the book of Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, in chapters 5, 6, and 7, Jesus was illustrating, and I'm not going to go through all of it, but he was illustrating a way. A way. A way of grace. He talks about a lot of things in here. How that he would fulfill the law. But he talked about in the Sermon on the Mount about anger and lust and divorce and oaths and relationships and enemies. He talked about giving in the sermon. He was talking about the kingdom life and the kingdom way. And it is a way of life. It is a way of life. A way of life. A way of prayer, a way of fasting, a way to lay up your treasures in heaven, a way of providence, a way of judging, a way of receiving. He is briefly in the sermon describing the kingdom way. A kingdom way. You might notice in that 19th chapter of Acts, and there's other places. There's the 9th chapter of Acts. There's the 22nd chapter of Acts, the 24th chapter of Acts. Paul was going on the road to Damascus. He had letters to take to put Christians in. Well, it's not, they're not called Christians in those statements of Paul. He has letters to get hold of the people that are in this way. That's how they're depicted and described, not as Christians, not as believers, not as the church, but people that were in the way of the Lord. Listen. This way is a great way. It's the best way. There's no better way to live than the Christian life. No better way to live than the Christian life. So, this sermon that Jesus preaches reaches a climax. It reaches a crescendo. And he says, you need to enter through a straight gate into the narrow way. Now, sometimes we are described as narrow-minded. You really don't know how narrow-minded I really am. I believe there's only one way of salvation. There's only one Savior. There's only one Redeemer. And that Redeemer is Jesus Christ. There's no other name given under heaven among men than the name of Jesus whereby you must be saved. You must be saved through the name of Jesus. But folks, let's face it. That is not the religious theology of the day. That is not the religious teaching of the day. The religious teaching of the day is that there's many ways to heaven. You just simply pick one. But that's not true. And at this section, you look in verse 15 of the 7th chapter of Matthew, and he begins to warn us concerning false preachers, false prophets, and he says, beware. There are deceivers, false teachers, and false prophets. And we've got a lot of them in the world. And if you look at this sermon, he is contrasting different religions. All of these religions teach and have a sign posted concerning their teaching and their gospel, this is the way to heaven. And so he's describing in verse 13 and 14 two ways and two gates. One is a straight gate, the other is a broad, wide gate. One's a narrow way, the other's a broad, wide way. You have two signs, two gates, two roads, two ways. Both of them say this is the way to heaven, but only one of them gets you there. The only one that will get you to heaven is the straight gate and the narrow way. That's the one that leads to life. The other ways lead to destruction. At the end of those roads, at the end of that journey, is a journey of destruction, damnation, and eternal hell. So both of them are posted, this is the way to heaven, but one of them really takes you to hell. That's what he was teaching. He talks about in this sermon, two gates, two roads, two destinations, two kinds of travelers. He goes on, and at the conclusion of this message, he talks about two kinds of trees, two kinds of fruit, one corruptible kind, one a good kind. He talks about two builders, one wise and one foolish. He talks about two different foundations. The foundation one is a rock, the other foundation is sand. He talks about two buildings, and he's talking about people constructing their life. One of them stands the storm and the other doesn't. Great is the fall thereof. He has brought the listeners in his sermon to a crossroad. To a crossroad. Now, life has many crossroads, many choices that we make. You know, I had to choose one of my new ties. Yeah, I got a new jacket on. Had a new jacket. I have trouble choosing ties. I have to seek advice on which tie to choose. But we make many choices. Some of them are pretty trivial. I really don't care what color tie I have on. And some of you have probably seen me out and said, he really don't care what color tie he has on. Because I get home and Angel say, did you wear that today? Oh my goodness. Some of them are very trivial. You know, but some of them are more important. I mean, it doesn't matter what you had for breakfast this morning. Pretty trivial. But some of the decisions we make in life are monumental. Who you marry is important. Amen? It determines a lot of your happiness in life, who you marry. It does. There are monumental decisions that we make in life. Jesus is bringing us to this place, this crossroads, concerning the choices that we make concerning eternal life. Now you can choose an easy religion, but I'm telling you the religion of Jesus Christ is hard. It's hard. He said it over and over again. You go on and read in the 10th chapter of Matthew. He talked about denying self. Denying self. On one occasion, he looked at a bunch of people. A multitude was following him. And he turned to evangelize them. Do you think he said, everybody repeat after me, every eye closed and every head bowed? No, he had multitudes following him. He turned to them and he said, if you don't deny father, mother, sister, brother, houses, land, yea, even your own life, you cannot be my disciple. He showed them the way beyond the gates. Amen. And numerous times he would tell people, it's more than just getting your ticket punched. It's a way of life. We're called to discipleship, to following the Lord, to serving the Lord. Amen. This way beyond the gate is the way of the cross. You've got to crucify yourself. Amen. It's a way of self-denial. It's a way of service. Folks, listen to me. Baptists have never taught that you can get saved and live any way you want to. You are not your own. You're not no longer controlled by the cosmos or the world. You don't love the world anymore. Well, now, that happens when you go through the gate. I mean, you got to unload to go through this gate. This is a narrow gate. It's like a turnstile. You go in one at a time. I don't believe in mass evangelism. I believe people get saved one at a time. It's personal. You got to unload. You got to unpack yourself. You've got to go through, stripped down, and surrendered before the Lord. Man, that is repentance. And you see through the gate and you know what kind of life you're going to have to live when you get on the other side. There's no big secrets here. Jesus always made it real clear and real plain. At the beginning of this sermon, he starts with the Beatitudes. He made it clear. He talked about persecution. Listen, this way is not only a way of the cross, it's a way of self-denial, it's a way of service, it's a way of sacrifice, it is a way of suffering. Way of suffering. Now look, if you're not inconvenienced from time to time by being a Christian in the world we live in today, you're not in the way. Okay? You're just not in the way. This is a way of inconvenience. There are times we are inconvenienced. I was talking with a man here recently who was offered a promotion at work that required a lot of changes in his church attendance, in his family, being home with his family. No. Even in this sermon, Jesus will talk about, look, you need to count the cost. Amen. Nobody goes off to war without counting the cost. Nobody starts to build a building without counting the cost. There's a cost that needs to be counted. I've been trying to teach on Wednesday nights, and I believe this and I teach this. There are some things, because you are a Christian, you cannot do. It might be lawful, but it will impede your journey as a believer. Unacceptable for you. Unacceptable for you. Why? Because you are a Christian that's following the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given you a race to run. You've got a journey before you. And there are things that will impede your journey. All things are lawful to me. It's okay. Everybody else is doing it. It don't matter if everybody else is doing it or not. It may not be okay for you to do. Because the way is laid out for you. I believe there's a calling on our lives. I sure do. Yeah, and all things work together for good, them that love the Lord, and them that are called in harmony with His purpose. There's a purpose that God has for our life. Well, Jesus brings us to a crossroads. Now look, there's a broad way out there. There's an easier way. But it don't take you to heaven. That's the problem. You know, I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to compromise. I'm going to try to stand on the Word of God. Now, if you want to compromise, there are places you can go and you can go to church, and they are compromising Christians with compromising doctrines and compromising behavior. And I'm telling you, that's the wide way, not the narrow way. I'm convinced that every believer needs to form convictions in their service to the Lord. And they need to stay true to the convictions that they have formed from the Word of God and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. There are things that God confirms in your heart that this is the right path for you. And no matter how narrow it may be, maybe nobody else is going that way, you need to go the right way. Because it is the way for you. It is the way for you. It is the way of life for you. The way of life for you. Well, I'm going to try to close. I didn't touch on what I really intended. I want to say this about the gate in closing. The gate serves two purposes. It lets people in and it shuts people out. Jesus will later on in the Gospel of Luke, He'll say, you need to strive to enter in at the straight gate. You got to strive to enter in at the straight gate. Strive to enter in. Now, the Greek word means to agonize. And there's a difficulty associated with getting through that gate. You got to let go of your life. You got to let go of sin. You got to surrender who you are to the lordship of Jesus Christ, where you're no longer your own. See, we are the servants, and He is the Lord. We are the servants, we are the slaves, and He is the master. Y'all believe that, don't you? In Christianity, He's the master. He is the Lord. That means He has subjects that are enslaved to Him. And let me just say that His yoke is easy and His burden's light. I tell you what, it's like that bond slave, you know. Man, when you've been set free from sin, you just surrender to the Lord. You want to serve Him the rest of your life. Yeah. But there's a surrendering of your life to the lordship of Jesus Christ at the straight gate. The way you're going to live from here on out, that has to be surrendered. Now I know there are people that question, well, how will I ever do that? Well, what did I say at the beginning? When you go through the gate, you get born from above. The Spirit of God comes into your heart and your life. The love of God is shed abroad there. There are things there that change you and transform you, that help you along the way. The Lord is with you. His Spirit is in you. Y'all know about that? Oh, straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Well, I'm in the right way. I'm in the bright and shiny way. I'm in the glory-bound way. And I want you to get in the way. The way that leads to life. But only those that go through the straight gate are in the right way. There has to be a point. You know, a gate is a point of entrance. A point of entrance. Do you remember when you entered into the kingdom of God? Huh? Do you remember when you entered into the family of God? Huh? Remember going through the gate? Did you go through, you know, flippantly and happy-go-lucky? Oh, man, there was some struggling with sin. There was some striving to go through. There was surrendering that happened in my heart and my life. There was savingly believing stuff going on in my heart and surrendering and repenting. Listen, you need to turn from sin and put faith in Jesus Christ and go through the gate. This is a crossroads right now. Crossroads. In reality, all of us at one point are brought to a crossroads. He brought those people to crossroads. They could stay in the fickle religion that they were in. That didn't lead to life. You know, I read of an Indian here recently, and he said he embraced Islam because Christianity. Well, he was asked why he embraced Islam. He said, "I embraced Islam because it's a broad way. You know, it's a broad way of life." He said, "Christianity is too narrow." Well, we're not going to change. It's narrow. I didn't make it that way. Christ made it that way. God made it that way. But it is a way, it's a narrow way, but it's a way that leads to heaven. Amen? A way. But you got to go through the gate. You got to come surrendering, unloading. Listen, if you got all kinds of whacked out ideas about how to be saved, you got to surrender your own philosophies and the ideologies of men. You got to surrender all these isms that are in your head and your heart. And you just got to simply come to the door, who is Jesus Christ. And trust Him. Not trust religion or systems of religion, but trust in Jesus Christ. And He'll save you. Let's sing. God bless you. Appreciate you listening to me. Ah, straight is the gate. Don't hesitate to come through the gate and get in this way. It's a way that leads to life. What a glorious journey it is. Amen? What a glorious journey it is. We've got all kinds of songs that talks about our journey, don't we? Yeah. Because it's a glorious journey. To have the Lord with you. I know it's a kind of dated read today, but if you've never read John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, you need to read it. Or you meet up with a lot of weirdos along the way. I don't know how else to describe them. He had different names for them. But you meet up with a lot of different weirdos along the way. But you got to stay on the path. The path that leads to the celestial city. Amen. You might ask, well, why did he only talk about two gates and two different roads and two types of fruit and two kinds of buildings and two kinds of foundations? Because there's only really two religions in the world. I've said this over and over again. I'm going to keep saying it. I've been saying it for a long time, almost ever since I began preaching. There's one of human achievement. Now, there are many denominations and many religions, titles for that. But it's just the devil taking one thing and packaging it all different ways. The true religion, the religion of Jesus Christ, the religion that takes you to heaven, is a religion of divine accomplishment. It's what Jesus did. It's trusting in the merits of the cross, the merits of His life, the merits of His words, His teachings, His doctrines, what He established, what He did, who He is, what He accomplishes. There's only two roads. The way that seems right and the way that is right. And Jesus is the right way.